It's the moment we've all been waiting for, Harry. It's time for you to reveal your 1 to 11. This is a team made up from players you played with.
Yep.
In your own time, the floor is all yours.
OK, mate, we'll start. With the goalkeeper. It was a lad called Bobby Ferguson. Bobby was he was a Scottish international, and he, at the time, I think West Ham paid £65,000 for him. He was the most expensive goalkeeper in the world. But the story was that West Ham could have signed Gordon Banks for probably £20,000, who, no disrespect, was on a different level to anybody. But I think that Ron Greenwood, the manager, he ran a very tight ship, and I think there was a difference in the wages of about £20 a week, and so he decided to go for Bobby Ferguson. It was for 65 grand a week. Wasn't great business, but Fergie was a good goalkeeper. He was an amazing athlete. We used to have a footballers' athletics meeting every year, and he used to win the 100 metres. And you could bet on it, Merce, you'd have loved it. It was like the paddle sprint. You'd have, like, some non-triers, you know what I mean? Oh, yeah, if you'd have been 6-4, we'd have laid you, and you'd have put the brakes on or something, you know. But he used to win the sprint. He was like lightning. He beat Malcolm McDonald, who was a flying machine, but Fergie could run like you'd never seen. He'd also win the hardest shot competition. He could kick a ball. Didn't always save it so well, but he was a good keeper, and he was a great lad, Fergie.
Back four?
Back four. At right back, I would pick a fella called Mel Machin. Mel was a player. I went to Bournemouth and played with Mel, and he went on to Norwich, and he actually managed Man City.
Yeah, I thought I'd.
And he was a class right back. John Bond went to Gillingham as manager or coach at first, and that's where he came across Mel. Mel was a player who got a free from Port Vale as a kid. And he obviously saw the potential in Mel, bought him to Bournemouth, and I went to Bournemouth, and I thought, this fella should be playing for England. He was that good. He was just a fantastic footballer. He went to America, got in the team of the season in America, but was at Seattle playing together. He was absolutely top class, and went on, as I say, to manage as well, manage Bournemouth for a long time as well as Man City. Centre-halves. The great Moro. I mean, Bobby was just on another level to anybody else I think I've ever met in football, as a person, as a player. Class, just class on the field, class off the field. If you'd have gone to watch Bobby play and you was a scout and I said, well, go and look, there's a fella playing on Saturday, go and have a look at him, we're interested. You'd have come back, you said, well, he's 5'11", plays centre-half. Is he strong in the air? No, not good in the air. Is he quick? No, got no pace. You'd have gone, well, hang on, he's not very big, he can't edit, he can't run. What can he do? Read the game. Yard, he'd be in position before any... He was yards and seconds quicker than anybody else. His brain was incredible. Get it from the back. And, you know, one quick story, he swears without Malcolm... Malcolm Allison made him into a player. Bobby was my pal, and we'd spend hours together. And he said that as a kid, Malcolm was the one person... West Ham took 16 kids on as a ground staff. 15 they had already nailed on. There was one place left and they were going to take another boy. And Malcolm used to do the Tuesday and Thursday night training at the ground. He'd go and he believed in Bobby and he went to the coaches and went, hey, I hear you're not going to take him, Bobby Moore. He went, no, he's not Malcolm. We've got someone else. He's not good enough. He went, you take him. He said, he's going to be a player. And he was right. And he worked, we believed in Bobby and he worked with Bobby. And Bobby said the first time he played one afternoon at Chelsea, he said, and Moro was marking Barry Bridges, who was only 17, but was in Chelsea's first team, scoring goals. I think on the Saturday, he got two goals for the first team. On the Tuesday or Wednesday, he's playing in the youth team against West Ham. And Moro said, I marked him, Harry, so I never give him a kick. He said, after the game, I came off. He said, and Malcolm walked in the dressing room. And he walked up to him and I thought, oh, Malcolm's going to say well done. And Malcolm said, will I ever see you play like that again? He said, I won't talk to you again. He said, when the goalie got it, what did you do? He said, you were running up, look where Barry Bridges was, wanted to mark him. I've told you, come and get it off the goalie. Let play from the back, knock it out to the left back, make an angle, clip it into the centre forward's chest. He said, play. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. If you're not prepared to play like that, then I'm not going to help you anymore. And that's what Bobby did, didn't he? Wow. Get it off the keeper. He swore by Malcolm, you know.
Alongside him.
Big Mike England. Mike England was captain of Wales, Tottenham. Great centre-half. Played with Mike out in Seattle. Fantastic player and strong, good in the air, quick. just a fantastic all-round centre-half. You know, went on and, as I say, played for Wales many, many times and was just an outstanding player. My left-back would be Lampard, senior. Played 600, 700, I don't know how many games. Right-footed left-back. Never saw him get... I only ever saw him get a chase in once. And that was off my dad, down at Laysdown, the Isle of Sheppey at the Caravan. My old man kept nutmegging him. He was about 57, my dad. And Frank said, if I can get near him, I'm going to kick him. But he couldn't get near him. My dad kept dragging it back. But no, Frank was a fantastic player. Like his boy, the same... What you see with a kid is what you had with him. Train, train, train. Afternoon, got his spikes on. Ron Greenwood came to him when he was 18, sorry, and said, I'm going to let you go and loan to Torquay. He said, I don't want to play it with Torquay, I want to play it with West Ham. What do I want to play it with Torquay for? He said, well, what's wrong with me? Tell me what's wrong with me and I'll work on it. He said, well, you're short of pace, Frank, you're not quick enough, you know. He got a pair of spikes, did his spikes every day, 10-yard sprints, 20 yards, run, check, backwards, jockey, turn and go, made himself into a player, played years and years and years for West Ham and ended up getting a cap for England as well. Yeah. On the right, I'm going to play a fella called Peter Braybrook. Peter was at Chelsea. I think he was the youngest player to go to a World Cup in 58 with England when he was just 18. He was in the World Cup squad. Peter had fantastic ability. Mercer loved him. He'd drop his shoulder and go that way and he'd send someone 10 yards the wrong way. And he had a million tricks and he was quick and he could dribble and beat people. He'd rip the arse. We better cut that one. He'd rip the backside out of people. He could absolutely murder you. And he was a great lad, Peter, as well. But he was a fantastic player. I used to love watching him play when he was at Chelsea. And then he eventually came to West Ham and played. I was a big fan of Peter's as a kid, you know, and playing with him as well. He was a top player. In midfield, you'd have Billy Bonds, could run all day, Bill, box to box, full of energy, could play right back, central midfield, a real powerhouse, not technically fantastic, but just a real cover every inch of the pitch. If you saw his stats now, they'd all this, you know, we look at the stats now, he's run X amount, he would, no one would get near him, the distance he would cover in a game, and he put it to use.
I played against him, I played in the reserves for Arsenal, Upton Park, and he was playing for West Ham. He must have been 40 odd.
Yeah,
I thought, here we go, I'll rip him here.
Yeah, yeah.
I never got a kick. No. Couldn't believe how fit he was.
Fit as a fiddle.
He didn't have a bit of muscle.
No.
Like a bit of fat on him. Phenomenal.
He came from Cholton, I think, with about £65,000. Was a great signing. £60,000. Ron Greenwood bought him as a young player and went on and played for years and years and years. A great, great player for West Ham.
Team's playing deep, isn't it?
Oh, sorry, yeah. Yeah, we are a little bit. Sorry, Merce, I'm not using the whole pitch up here, am I?
How good was this man?
Trevor Brooking, fantastic footballer. You know, he could let balls run. He'd go and, you know, someone would take a throw and he'd let run across his body. He'd play no touch, you know, he just could let balls run and just open play up suddenly without touching the ball. He had that fantastic, always sideways on. Always could see everything, you know, let balls run, make out to play it back, let it come across his body, go out the other side, pick it up and drift past people. 6'1", 6'2", big lad, always looked a little bit heavy, but glided over the pitch. Remember the first game I ever played with him when he came to West Ham at 15 years of age. I think we played Millwall away in a Youth Cup game. And Trevor came, and I think he came, he had his school blazer on, spoke quite posh. And we thought, what we got here? But he wasn't, your normal kid at West Ham, but soon after the game, we looked and we thought, my God, he can play, you know, a fantastic footballer, great career for West Ham and for England, you know. On the left, Martin Peters, obviously played in the World Cup, scored in the World Cup final, Martin. Was a fantastic player, could score goals, get in the box, arrive in the box, his timing was fantastic. You know, he had that ability, like the Brian Robsons of this world, like the great goal-scoring midfield players, just had that knack of arriving, could play central, could play there, could play left, could play anywhere, could play in goal. Was an excellent goalkeeper if he ever, you know, in training if he wanted to. He's just all-round player, fantastic footballer.
You know, like, he won the World Cup. Mm. you know, when you were playing with these people, would you have said he's world class?
Probably not at the time. You know, you certainly we thought he was a top player, but I suppose world class in them days.
Out of all the England team in that World Cup winning team, how many of them would have been?
That would be difficult. Yeah, I suppose you'd look at it, but because we always put people abroad on a. We always thought, oh, he's from Brazil, he's this, or you know, there was the obviously in that era, you know, you had the Beckenbauer in Germany, and you had the Brazilian, you know, Carlos Alberto, Pele, Tostão, you know, all them Revelino, all them great players in Brazil. And you probably, because you grew up and they were here, you always looked at them and thought, well, yeah, they're great players. You know, we thought they were top players. There were no foreign players here, were there? Mm. So it was difficult to judge, really. We maybe took them for granted a little bit. But when it came to winning the World Cup, we certainly, you know, 66 was an incredible year. And three of those players at West Ham were in played in the World Cup final, which was fantastic for the club.
Top two.
Yeah. Jeff Hurst, you know, Jeff scored a hat-trick in the World Cup final, 1966, converted from a midfield player. He was a midfield player at West Ham. He came as an old-fashioned box-to-box midfield player, and Ron Greenwood converted him into a striker and worked with him on near-post runs, near-post, getting across defenders. Hurst, he was fantastic. And even now, you know, pulling away from people, coaches now, you know, people making space in the box. Leave the space because that's the space you want to attack. Hurst, he would pull the centre half away, look to come around the back and then come across people. Just his timing to get on the end of that cross. Half a yard, the goal that Bobby made for Jeff in the World Cup, you know, where he's put the ball down, Morrow's, Hurst, he's read it, pulled away, free kick, crossed the defender, bang, header, back of the net, you know. His timing and his work rate, he held the ball up, he was strong, and he had that knack of scoring goals. He'd worked so hard for the team. He was a fantastic foil and a great player to play with, you know. Alongside him, one of the all-time greats, in my opinion, Jimmy Greaves. Yeah. You know, Jimmy, it was a pleasure to play with Jimmy. It was late in his career, but Jimmy was a genius. He was the greatest goal scorer that I've ever seen. I've never seen anybody could score goals like Jim. You know, wherever he played, first game, Will Greaves scoring his first game for Chelsea, Willie scoring his first game for Tottenham, wherever he went, he scored. You know, I can remember watching him play as a young player even, you know, when he first broke into the Chelsea team, scoring five goals, I think, against Wolves one day, where, you know, the England Clamp, Flowers, Slater, England halfback, or, you know, defence, if you like. And Jimmy was only a kid, but then obviously went to Italy, came back to Tottenham, was a great player for Tottenham, and came to West Ham late in his career, and a great guy, Jimmy. Just loved being around him, and a fantastic goal scorer. Absolute genius. And, you know, there's so many other players that I could choose. Difficult, you know. I played with Budgie Byrne just at the end of his career. Budgie was a genius and all at West Ham. Fantastic footballer. He'd walk in any team, Budge, you know. But Hurstie and Greavesy, I mean, Jeff played, ironically, instead of Jimmy in the World Cup final. Jimmy picked up an injury in the quarter-final, and Jeff came in and obviously scored the goals, and Jimmy didn't get back in the team. But to add the two of them together in their prime, they would have been fantastic pair. But
great team.
Good. Good.